This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now it's time for our weekly review of state news. The former chancellor and vice chancellor at UW Oshkosh have been charged with felonies in the latest chapter of the story of financial mismanagement on that campus. After the record-setting blizzard that hit central and northeastern Wisconsin, farmers are being encouraged to file claims for damages sustained. And also in the news, Wisconsin's attorney general is encouraging schools to apply for school safety funding. And a notorious Wisconsin criminal who evaded capture for several months in 1987 has died. Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks.
Let's start things off, Rob, at UW Oshkosh, this ongoing problem there. Now, former Chancellor Richard Wells and former Vice Chancellor Tom Sonlietner were charged in Winnebago County Circuit Court on Thursday. What are they accused of, Rob?
Right. So we have known for some time that there were some shady financial practices at the UW Oshkosh, because this had been the subject of findings by the UW system. There was the UW system had filed a civil lawsuit. But these are the first criminal charges. And I would say it was still, there's still an element of surprise when the felony charges came down this week against this former chancellor and vice chancellor. Essentially, at issue is that they are alleged to have moved money from the budget of the university to its foundation in order to bolster some building projects that they saw as priorities for the university. There's not really an allegation that they were like embezzling funds for themselves or enriching themselves, but it is a case where that there are laws that separate the budgets of the UWO itself, which includes, public taxpayer money, from the budget of the UWO Foundation, which is private. Private donations, and it appears, or prosecutors allege, that they did not respect those boundaries.
And UW Regents were on board with the idea of filing criminal charges here?
Right, yeah. I mean, the Regents had referred the matter to the Department of Justice in the first place. They have been pretty hard on the way that the funds were handled. The criminal complaint says that these two, the chancellor and vice chancellor, signed loan guarantees for a hotel project that was supposed to be financed by the foundation, but that that would have put UW Oshkosh itself on the hook for any, what they said in the letters, were any additional investment loans and expenses. So from the point of view of Regents, that was reckless use of UW Oshkosh funds.
Do we have an idea of a timeline now on these charges and when they go to court?
So they'll have their first appearance in June. I would not expect a resolution to this anytime soon. These sorts of cases tend to take a very long time. On the high end, they're facing 3.5 years in prison if found guilty.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin about some of the top stories in Wisconsin news this week. Rob, not that far removed from that big blizzard that hit your neck of the woods in northeastern Wisconsin, especially hard, lots of snow. And what kind of damage now did that record-setting snowfall cause?
Yeah, it's like a hazy memory now. But yeah, it was like only a couple of weeks ago there was 2 feet of snow coming down. Yeah, I mean, there were a number of cases, especially in the Green Bay area, which was hit with 2 feet of snow. It was like late April, so it was very wet, heavy snow. And there were a number of cases where roofs were caving in some local businesses there, and in this case, especially at a number of dairy farms. So there's a dairy farm in Kewaunee where a barn that had more than 1,000 cows just collapsed. There's been a lot of damage to a lot of different small businesses and farms.
And this is in the news this week. Governor Walker has been visiting some of the damaged farms and has been encouraging farmers to document and report the damage that was caused. What can they do then with that?
Right. So if they there's no sort of emergency declaration yet, but if they can document and report this damage, the It would go through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. If you're a dairy farmer, that's who you would report this to. And the USDA, the secretary, then can make a declaration and can get these farmers some help. Most likely, it would come in the form of like low interest loans that they could use to pay for repairs, just to take financial pressure off them as they try to recover.
We're taking a look at some of the top state news stories of the week with Robert Mentzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you still recovering from damage from that big snowstorm? And coming up, we'll talk about school safety. The state is offering grants to schools to boost their safety procedures and infrastructure. Is this something of concern to you and your district? If you work for a district, are you going to be applying for this? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We're looking at some of the top news stories of the week with Rob Mentzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, a school security funding available now. The state is issuing this, and the state's attorney general says, hey, schools, get out there and apply. Talk about these grants.
Sure. This is a pot of about $100 million of grants that are open to all schools in across the state that they can use for building upgrades or for staff training that promotes school security. This is a response of sorts to the school shooting in Florida, the Parkland shooting, and was signed into law just about a month ago, passed very quickly, and is now this week is open for applications.
And Attorney General Brad Schimmel is, as I said, encouraging schools to take advantage of the opportunity, but he cautioned that there's no such thing as a 100% secure school, said this about steps that would try to achieve that.
Not anything that we would want to stomach, because it would become like a National Guard armory building, and that we don't want our kids going to school.
So this is more modest measures than a complete 100% safety. What kind of things can school districts do with this grant money, Rob?
Well, so a notable part of this, about a third of the overall grant funding, will go toward the goal of making sure that all schools by this fall in Wisconsin are using a single secure entrance. So that's, you know, most schools have that. Not every single one does, so you'll have to buzz in or whatever. Other things the money might be used for would be like locks on classroom doors, shatterproof glass. You know, I mean, schools in Wisconsin, like schools in a lot of places, are often old buildings. And so these would be upgrades for security that probably was not even considered at the time that the buildings were built.
And Rob, I want to spend a few minutes on this last story. Stephen K. Thompson passed away this week. Not a household name now, but he was also known as Rambo. This was a huge story in the Wausau area, in Wisconsin in general, back in 1987. I'll say, Rob, when I moved back into Wisconsin in 1991, I met a bunch of people from Marathon County. They were still arguing about how police handled this. Tell us the story of Stephen K. Thompson.
Sure. I mean, it was absolutely a sensation, and it's something that everyone around here who was here at the time remembers vividly. So Stephen K. Thompson is from Michigan, and he was had gotten in some trouble as a young man and was in a prisoner in a work camp in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, and he walked away, and he walked down through the UP into Wisconsin and made his way over the course of months by breaking into people's cabins, stealing food, and sometimes just sleeping in the woods. He was at a cabin outside of Wausau in July of 1987, when the owner of the cabin came home, and he had a gun. He shot out of a window. He was later was convicted of this. Shot out of a window. There was a standoff. Police responded. There was a emergency responders couldn't get in to get the homeowner who had been shot in the stomach, and then Thompson disappeared. And he was the subject of a massive manhunt across the state. Daily headlines, sort of where is the shooter? The man that was shot was in the hospital for 6 weeks. He ultimately recovered. But it was an unsettled time, and Thompson finally turned himself in Minnesota months later in October, having made his way on foot across the whole state.
So he finally turned himself in, pled guilty to the shooting, served 24 years in prison, paroled, got in trouble again, finally out of prison for good in 2014, another jail stay after that, though. You interviewed him, Rob, when he was released in 2014. Here's a clip from your interview with him.
During the 5 months I was on escape, I probably broke into between 75 and 100 cabins. And I avoided homes because I didn't want any contact with people. Like I said, I was paranoid. I was delusional thinking. Actually, it was the most boring time in my life. You're out there. There's nobody to talk to. You're always looking for airplanes or wondering if dogs are going to be after you. And I've had dogs after me. I tried to calculate how many times I've had dogs after me. And I think it's 11 times. 11 times tracking dogs have been used on me, and they've never caught me yet.
So I hear a little regret there, Rob, and a little pride, too, in evading capture. What was your take talking to this guy?
Right. It was one of the more... bizarre stories, I guess, that I've really reported, to be honest. The way it came about is he walked into the office one day and said he wanted to talk with someone and had a story to tell. And I talked with him over the course of several weeks for a long story that I wrote back in 2014. And he was, you put your finger on something. Like, he had grievances. He had things that he was still angry about his treatment. He maintained his innocence. Though he had pled guilty, he always said that he was innocent of the crimes he was convicted for. But there was also an element for sure where he wanted to relive this manhunt. It was the most accomplished thing that he did in his life. I mean, that's the way that he looked at it. He had outsmarted all these police over the course of all this time, and those were glory days in some sense for him.
We leave it there for now. Rob, thanks as always for joining us.
All right, thank you.
That's Rob Mentzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin, rounding up some of the top stories in Wisconsin news from the past week.